I would like to see a nice kind of salad or like wraps kind of, and it's just something really fresh, because whenever I go there, get something really greasy. And but just, you know, someplace with like really nice fresh salads or kind of plant-based would be much appreciated.
So last fall, it felt like I practically lived at Marble City Market. Leading up to the opening of the first food hall in Knoxville, I felt like I was there like every day. We wrote one story on every vendor that was opening up there. We wrote, you know, a big story about what this food hall could mean for downtown Knoxville. We had podcast episodes and photo galleries and live videos. And for the past 6 months, you know, the business has been open and it's been a part of downtown Knoxville. And like any business, you know, it's sort of worn off a little bit, right? There was that big rush whenever the food hall first opened, and now we're starting to see what normal business looks like. And we wanted to take today, especially with the fact that there is a new food hall perhaps in the works for South Knoxville, to see whether this is a concept that has worked so far in Knoxville, or at least worked as it intended. So that's the focus of the show today. I am Ryan Willis, Urban Life writer at Knox News.
Brenna McDermott, Growth and Development Editor at Knox News.
And for the very first time on the Scruffy Stuff, I'd like to welcome
Silas Sloan, Growth and Development Reporter at Knox News.
Before we get started, I need to remind everyone that the Scruffy Stuff is brought to you by KnoxNews.com, where you can find everything we discuss here on the show and a whole lot more. Knox News relies on support from readers and listeners to provide you compelling stories from Knoxville and across East Tennessee. Subscribers get an all-access pass to all of our premium exclusive content. And to become a subscriber, it's easy. Just visit KnoxNews.com/subscribe, see our latest offer, and sign up today. So looking back at our coverage, the big story right before the food hall opened was a sneak peek that I wrote. And the headline, and it was chosen as the headline because it was a big focus from the developers, is this food hall has the potential to expand the boundaries of downtown Knoxville. And I'd like to start there because I'll just tell you my experience first. I did not get over to that part of town as much as I would like to. I have started going over there more because of the food hall. But I wonder, to people that, you know, have never really gone over to that area, they would do the same thing. Because I go over there, I've been exploring some other businesses in the area. I've been going to the food hall and maybe going to get a drink at Central Depot, or maybe going around the corner to Public House. But that's just me. That's coming from somebody that knew these businesses already existed. And I'm wondering, you know, for people who maybe don't spend as much time downtown, I know both of y'all do, but I mean, what has sort of been your perception of whether or not this is actually followed through and extending the boundaries of downtown? Do you think people are using this part of the city more than they have before?
I definitely find myself down there quite often because of the food hall. And like you said, Public House is right behind there. And Mill and Mine is a great concert venue, especially at Big Ears. So I think it's definitely a place I'd want to go now downtown.
I was going to say, we covered Big Ears together, and I felt like we were eating there almost every meal during the festival, which, you know, if you're seeing a show, you know, when there's not a festival going on, just a show at the Mill and Mine, that's a good option. Although, you know, Taco Taco is even closer. It's attached to the same building. Mm-hmm. I will say that one way it has lived up to expectations, and one reason that I do find myself going over to that part of town more, it is because of the food hall, but because there's the variety of options of foods you can eat. And that has been the big thing for me and why I have spent so much time going over there. And that's coming from somebody whose partner is a very picky eater. And so this was like a big thing for me, right? That I can finally go out to eat, you know, poke, or go out to eat, you know, some, you know, something from Soul Brothers while she gets her pasta in a tin dish. That's been nice for me. But I mean, Brenna, I mean, I've ran into you a couple times over there. I mean, is this somewhere that you're going a lot and you feel like other people are doing the same?
I don't think Marble City Market has immersed itself in the downtown Knoxville culture yet. I think there was an assumption early on that it was an if you build it, they will come situation. And I think to some extent that's true. The idea of a food hall is just really appealing, especially if you've never been to one. You want to try it out once, or you want to bring your out of town relatives there. But I think it has relied too much on that people are just going to show up and love the food hall. And I think there's a lot more the food hall could be doing to bring in customers and repeat customers.
I agree with that. I mean, one thing that I wanted to talk about, and it kind of goes hand in hand with your point, is that I think there's definitely a very obvious community at the food hall, you know, among the vendors. You see the vendors interacting with each other. But yeah, like you said, I don't feel like it's part of the greater community. There is a community there, but it's not like interacting with other businesses. And, you know, for example, there's the empty stall right now because Poe Richards had left, and the Marble City Market is doing a pop-up there right now. But the pop-up they're doing is with a vendor who's already in the food hall. Smash Knoxville has the Smash Burger concept, and then the owners also have Lanai, which is a Hawaiian food concept that's planned to go into Kern's Bakery food hall site. It's going to do a pop-up temporarily there at Marble City Market until a new vendor is picked. I would have liked to seen something different, something, you know, somehow brought in the community. I don't know. You know, I'm sure they're not just going to let any random person that has an idea come in there to the food hall and set up a temporary shop. But I feel like that stall could have been used in some way that, you know, could better promote the food hall, better involve the community rather than just, you know, taking the safe route with a vendor that is already successful. Although I know that pop-up's going to be successful because people love Lanai, but still, I think there could have been something more done.
People do love Lanai, but isn't it the same group of people that loves Smash?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So I think you're right. By bringing in a brand new brand that has nothing to do with the food hall, even temporarily, I think they might have been able to attract a new audience because whatever brand they brought in would have already had somewhat of a following.
Yeah, or I even would have liked to see, like, hey, you know, we're going to do this fun thing where this stall is going to be collaborations, you know, with vendors that are already there. Like, doing something fun and fresh rather than just filling a space, which is, and that's not to take away anything from Lanai again, because I know people do have, you know, do enjoy their food, and I've heard great things about it, but I feel like there could have been something more fun and exciting, especially considering, like you said, there's not that much that's being done. I feel like, from an outsider, and some people on the inside would agree too, we're going to get to some of the butting of heads that have happened here recently in a minute, but more could be done to encourage people to actually get in the door. So we can't talk about a food hall without talking about the food, and that was one of the high expectations that people had coming in to Marble City Market for the first time, is that everything at the food hall was supposed to be a chef-driven concept. I'm not a chef. I don't want to sound judgy, but there's a couple concepts in there that don't really feel like that. I don't want to name names either, but I just wonder what your thoughts are. Do you feel when you go in there to order that everything is chef driven, or is there some that feel like that and some that don't? What is the balance for you?
I don't really know. I don't really think of like things being chef driven when I go to order there. I just kind of see what sounds good and what kind of, what type of food do I want? Do I want, you know, a sandwich or a burger or pasta or something? Like, I don't really think about the chef driven concepts at all. I just, that hasn't come crossed my mind. So
right. For what and that's what worth. You mentioned, right? You mentioned burger. You mentioned, what was the other one? You said pasta. Well, you didn't mention, but you mentioned pizza. I want to mention pizza. I get, but you know, these are really good tasting things, but at the end of the day, it's a burger, it's a pizza, it's pasta. Yeah.
I will say though, you know, some of them, they have, you know, different twists on different, on classic dishes. Like at Soul Brothers, there's the Korean Cuban, which, you know, I love Cuban with a K. I love a good Cubano sandwich. I think that's probably my favorite sandwich of all time. And that twist on there with the, they put Spam, and it's kind of a Korean twist on that. I thought that was great. So those kinds of foods definitely feel more chef driven and inspired. But
so for you, Silas, the variety is more important than it being chef driven.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
I think the problem for me though is that it's, and we're going to get also into the atmosphere here in a little bit, but it feels, especially go over to the bar area, it feels a little bit more elevated, and I'm mm-hmm. not sure that the food always matches the atmosphere and mm-hmm. just the overall vibe of the place. And again, it's good food. I mean, but I would not think I'm really in the mood for something chef-driven tonight. Let me go to Marble City Market. When I get there, I'm like, okay, this is more than just, you know, like a lot of people thought food court food. I know that it's above that. But if I thought chef-driven in my head is what I want, I don't think Marble City Market would be the first place that I'd go to. But
I also think when you're going after a chef-driven meal, you're probably also wanting to be served.
I was going to say, you want the whole experience, right?
And so that is kind of a missing piece in the food hall experience. We can talk about this after we talk about food, but I think it can be kind of stressful if you're new to the whole food hall concept.
What's our favorite food options? What is your go-to at Marble City Market?
I mean, I mentioned Soul Brothers. I've been there a few times. I think that's the only one I've gone back to a second time. I thought they were fantastic.
I think that's a common answer for people. Mm-hmm. I think Soul Brothers is one of the more popular options at the food hall.
Yeah.
I'll spread the love a little bit. if I'm going to break the calorie bank, it's going to be on a big-ass cookie.
Okay.
And Myrtle's delivers big-ass cookie better than anyone. The lemon cookie is great. The chocolate chip cookie that has Oreo filling in the middle.
Double chocolate?
Is that what it's called?
Oh, no. I just meant there's double chocolate. I was just...
No, not double
defining
chocolate.
It.
No. It's a chocolate chip cookie, and it has Oreo filling in the middle.
Oh, Oreo filling.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Not to be missed.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, I'm not a sweets person, so not going to go that route. My favorite, actually, is the one that left. Poe Richards was my go-to. I went there. Almost every time I went there was to get a Philly cheesesteak. I thought their Philly cheesesteak was one of the best I ever had with the peppers and the mushrooms. They're now gone. And one of the reasons that they left is they felt, like we said at the top of the podcast, that there just wasn't enough being done to get foot traffic in the door. And so...
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think... Anytime you bring a new concept into a market, there's a little bit of consumer education that has to happen. What is this? Where is it? We can come back to where is it in a minute, because I think that's a bigger issue. How does it work? And just general marketing of this is a new business. I've seen little, if any, advertising or marketing promoting Marble City Market other than the little events that they have there occasionally.
Well, and it goes beyond just putting it on your own Instagram. Like, just because you post something about what's going on doesn't mean you're not getting new customers. You're getting the customers that already follow your Instagram. I check in regularly with some of the food hall vendors over there, and I have heard that even the vendors are sometimes come into the food hall surprised that there's something going on. Like, it's not really being communicated as well with the vendors. And, you know, I've been told that there's trivia, and I know there is trivia, I think on Wednesdays, and that there's been some live music and some other classes and events. But I'll tell you what, I go there a lot, and it's never been when I've been there, you know, and maybe I would go to one of those events, but I just, I don't know about it. And when I have been there, there hasn't been that stuff going on, which I find hard to believe, because I've been there on Friday nights. I've been there during the week. I've been there on weekends. I've been there during music festivals that are happening just next door, and just haven't seen too much activity in there. And honestly, it's not really laid out good to have that kind of stuff. I mean, where are you going to have live music? I think they have it over there in the bar area, but it just, I don't know.
And have you noticed that it is extremely loud in the bar area?
Yes.
So adding music, something about the acoustics just doesn't work in there. I went there for a work meeting, and I felt like I was shouting across the table, which is fine, but just consider how live music might make that even worse.
Well, speaking of that bar area, I think one of the things that really has lived up to the expectations is that bar.
I agree that the bar, I mean, again, I don't know the really have a great understanding of what the expectations were, because it was built after I got here, but the bar has been kind of one of my highlights of Marble City Market. I think that's always a great place to go. You know, like when we were covering Big Ears, that was kind of a central point to between shows. Let's go grab a drink at Frank and George's, at the bar. So I think that's one of the best parts of the food hall.
You know, I've really enjoyed those cocktails. And I tell you what, for a food hall that is a little bit pricey, which is, we keep teasing what we're going to talk about here in a little bit. I want to get to prices in a second. But for a food hall that's kind of pricey on the food end, I think the price of the cocktails for the quality of the cocktail that you get in return is pretty on par. I think they are reasonably priced cocktails. Now, White Claws and PBR prices and beer prices are a little bit higher than what I would like, which is surprising. I would think that they would charge more for the stuff that they're creating, that there's some craft value and, you know, some mixology involved. But the only problem I have with the bar is if you want to open a tab, they hold on to your card, which I think is a bad concept for a food hall, because then you need your card to go order your food, and then you have to ask for your card back, and they have to hold your ID to give you your card back. That is one of the most frustrating parts of the whole food hall experience, is figuring out once you get a table, okay, here, you hold this table, I go get a drink, but then you go get the food because I don't have the card now, because the card is now behind the bar. So I'll Venmo, like I've had to do Venmoing here because I just don't want to deal with, you know, the transaction of cards between bars and vendors and all that.
I have a very simple solution that would solve both the standing in line problem and the holding your table credit card problem. You establish little kiosks, an iPad where you can go order from any of the vendors and you can see their menu. So you can walk around and you can look at all the board menus and then you can just go to this kiosk and order what you want from any of the vendors.
And that's an option, not the only way you order.
Right,
I like
exactly.
that.
Or you can take the like an iPad and take it to your table and everybody can order. And then you can all sit together and enjoy your time while you wait for your food.
I don't know if they'll let you walk around with iPads. I feel like not me. Somebody would steal it. Sorry.
Yeah, you'd probably have to hand over your credit card for that, too. Okay, so maybe that's an additional problem. But the kiosk idea is genius.
Kiosk is
key.
If
I do say so myself.
I think it's fantastic. And speaking of like a central kiosk station, I would love to see, and I know that some vendors would love to see, a central location for, I'm going to say condiments, but I've heard for utensils and napkins. Utensils, napkins, and condiment station. Let's have that. Well, then you feel bad, too, because you have to cut in front of line, in front of people, and say, excuse me, I just need to get a napkin. And then, I'm really polite when I go to the food hall.
Is that your cutting in line voice, right?
Pardon me, sir. Anyways.
Mind if I squeeze past you?
Yeah. And the reason that the vendors don't like it, and I talked to Dustin Cochran, home of the big-ass cookies that you love so much, Myrtle's Bakehouse, and he was like, it's a napkin, right? It's not that big of a deal, but if you... And he doesn't want to sound like this, but I'm not even going to give a napkin to somebody if they don't purchase from me. But if you're having to give out napkin after fork, and people are, buying from other vendors, I've done it one time where I bought food from one vendor, and then I just walked up to the closest stall to grab a napkin or a fork. And then, those are being provided, I'm pretty sure, by the vendors themselves. And so then now you're giving away stuff, and it's just, I think a simple solution is just a place with at least forks and napkins. And that goes back to management, helping out the vendors with things that are that they can help out with. They can't help out with the food quality, but they can help out with the condiments and the napkins and stuff. So I would love to see that.
Anything that would simplify the process of going and ordering and finding your table and getting your food and sitting down, I think would go a long way. People want things to be easy.
Yeah. Well, forget finding your table. How about finding the food hall? Can we talk about that? We talk about it for a second? Now, I lived over there, like I said, for a couple months there in the fall, it seemed like. So I was very familiar with this spot. If you're not, you're not. I mean, the signs, they've added a sign above the bar area door of Frank and George's that's lit up red and blue. That's not the place you need a sign. You need a sign whenever you get over that Gay Street Viaduct to let me know that, hey, this big gray building with no branding on the side of it has something inside of it that I can go inside of. Because it looks like it's just like ground level condos, because it's condos in the rest of the building.
When I first moved here, I drove past a sign and it said food hall. If I had just missed that, if I looked blinked, I would have missed it. I probably wouldn't have made it back out there for weeks later or known about it. I had no idea it was even there.
Even something like as soon as you get over the viaduct, it doesn't have to be a big sign on the side of the building, but I can't remember they own all this property, but the developers behind the Regus Square development also developed the old Regus restaurant building. And there's that right in front of Pachki, there's like that big grassy area. I think there's a tree there. Mm-hmm. Can there not be something there that's very obvious, even something maybe that's lit up? With a big arrow that just says, hey, to the right. I mean, it's something you could see when you get over the viaduct to let you know there's something down there. I think that would be even more valuable than something on the side of the building, because the only way you're going to see the side of the building is if you're down in that area already.
Do you remember my $1 million idea from last week's episode about the big pole?
I'm just kidding. Good idea.
With all the arrows pointing to all the businesses you can visit. It would sit at the corner of Gay Street and Jackson. Marble City Market needs an arrow on that pole, because if you're in the 100 block, you can't see signs or any evidence that there's a food hall sitting right there.
And I still think it makes sense to have a sign on the side of the building. They need something more on that building, because 90% of the food hall does not have a sign on it. It's just that last little sliver down there at the end that has the Frank and George's sign. There needs to be something there just to make it look better. But I think, functionality wise, I think there needs to be something there over at the end of the viaduct. Once you're actually in there, inside that, the food hall space, what are your impressions of just the environment? Is it somewhere that you want to sit down and eat? Is it a comfortable environment for you?
It's comfortable. It's fun. But like Brennan, you were talking about, it's loud and I wouldn't really want to have a business meeting there. If I was meeting some friends for lunch or, you know, grabbing a meal before a show or something, I think it's a great place, but it's not really a place I want to, like, you know, if I really want to have like a conversation with someone, it's not some place I'll go. It's kind of more of a casual place rather than
it's almost like it's too quiet to be like a lively, like, nightlife destination, and it's too loud to be a casual sit and talk kind of place. It's mm-hmm. like it's somewhere in between. One mistake that I noticed that I personally think was a mistake, you know, they being Hospitality HQ might argue against me on this, but before they even opened the food hall and they wanted to get an idea of how they wanted to design this space, they went to a bunch of different places around Knoxville and took note of what they saw. A lot of dark rooms, a lot of dark woods, a lot of beer. And they essentially decided to do exactly the opposite of what was already in downtown Knoxville because they wanted something new. They wanted something fresh the city has never seen before. I don't know if Knoxville was ready for that. I feel like it feels a little out of place, and especially in that area, you know, it's practically Old City. And I think I said on last week's episode, that's probably the scruffiest area of town right now. It just does not fit in with the Taco Taco, the Mill and Mine, the Central Depot, and then the rest of Old City. It feels like it's something that belongs perhaps like right in the heart of Gay Street, you know, where there's a lot of foot traffic and there's a little bit more where some of those upper scale concepts have already happened. Now, granted, you need somebody to take that first step to really, you know, change a neighborhood. But I just don't know if that was a time for the change.
I think aesthetically, it feels very corporate in there. Not great ambiance. I think that can be good in some cases, depending on, you know, who you're bringing with you. But so many downtown Knoxville restaurants have really found their own creative niche. And so you walk in and it feels like a real place that care and thought was put into. And I would just like to see a little bit more personality or maybe mood lighting or something to make it feel more like this is the place we want to be.
It feels a little bit like a, not generic, but like a food court you find in a mall, kind of. And
well, I think it's a little nicer.
I mean, it's way nicer than a mall food court, but just lighting wise and personality wise, it's nothing special.
No, and I would agree with you. I would agree with you to an extent on that. That it feels for people that were saying, "Oh, this is just a glorified food court." They've proven those people wrong to an extent, but it is still sort of the same layout. Like, I know, you know, recently I went to Atlanta and went to Pont Street Market, I think it's called. It's a food hall that in Atlanta, obviously, like I said. But there is, you know, the other food hall that's planned for South Knoxville, the Kearns Bakery site. From what I gather, it's going to be a little bit more like that, where there's some actual, you know, places where, like, sit-down restaurants, there's going to be, like, little market areas. There might be some retail involved as well. It's not just cookie-cutter stalls, you know, in a row like a mall food court is. And so in that sense, like, to somebody who's not, like, a big, like, culinary, like, you know, connoisseur of fine foods, like, it probably does still just look like a glorified food court to people until they get some more programming in there, until they make it, you know, do some things that sets itself apart from other places in downtown Knoxville. Because, yeah, I mean, if you're just there because you heard there's this cool food hall and you walk in, it's just a bunch of stalls, you probably think that until you actually try the food and sit down. And if you don't drink, if you just go in there just for the food too, that kind of, I don't want to sound like, you know, you have to drink to have a good time on a night out, but like that, you know, if you're just going for the food, then that's like one part of the experience that they really, do you get what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying
I'm
to say?
I'm going
to
change the subject. I'm going to jump off what you said. There's a lot that's uncertain about the Kearns Bakery food hall. We haven't gotten an update from the developers in some time. It's not clear who the vendors will be, what the plan or the timeline or the budget's going to be. But I can tell you that aesthetically, it's going to look and feel very different from Marble City Market to its advantage, I think. You're talking about creating a food hall in a former factory. So, you know, the last time I talked to the developers about the plans, it was going to be embracing that exposed brick and the old historic feel of the property. So very vastly different.
And if it is like Pont Street, Pont City Market, whatever it's called in Atlanta, I'll have to say that place has been one of the most popular places in Atlanta since it's open. My first experience actually was not that great. I wasn't a big fan of it. in a way, I do kind of like how Marble City Market is very clear. It's like, you know, I just, after just complaining about the layout of the stalls and how it feels like a mall food court, at least you know, at least it's easy to navigate in that way. It's like, okay, nothing at this stall. Let me go to the next one. At that, at Pont City, you know, just walking around, it was like a little bit intimidating. There was like little nooks and crannies in places I wasn't sure if I was supposed to go in, or if I did go in and order, would I have to sit down, or could I take it to some shared seating? That is one good thing that if, you know, if you're trying to do quick food, which is something that they've focused on, that I will say has lived up to expectations too, is that you can order your food and get it within 10, 15 minutes. If that's what you're going for, then in that sense, it does make sense because you can go in there quickly, find what you want, order it, and be on your way. I don't think they want you to be on your way, though. They want you to stick around and hang out, and that's sort of where some of the problems are.
And I think to Silas's earlier point, the speed with which the food comes is really great if you're doing dinner and a show, or right, dinner and bar crawl afterwards or whatever. But if you're just going out for dinner and a drink, that's almost a detriment.
I've been in that situation. I've been in that situation where I, although it probably boosts other businesses around them, because I've been in a situation where I've gone to the food hall and I got my food and got my drink and finished my food and finished my drink, and I'd already spent so much on the food that I didn't want to get another drink. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just sitting there. It's like, guys, it's been like 30 minutes and we're already done, and we came downtown, and you know, I live close to downtown, but I still have to drive to the food hall. So I'd parked underneath the bridge behind the food hall, walked over there, done in a half hour, and I was like, well, I don't really want to hang out here much longer. So let's go next door. So we did go, we, you know, we'd go up to Central Depot, or we go into the old city. So in that way, you know, it's a good for other businesses, but yeah, like you said, it could be a detriment to Marble City Market, how quick it is. Cause it's almost like you want to get in and get out.
I think we're coming into a challenging time of year. What I think will be a challenging time of year for the vendors. In summer, there are so many choices of things you could be doing in Knoxville. You could be traveling, or you could be out doing outdoorsy things. You could be at the quarry. There's just a lot of competition for people's time and attention.
On the other side of that, I will say that one of my favorite times that I've had at the food hall was during big years when the parade went by, and sitting out there on that patio, which I think is a great patio. I think it's awesome to be able to just sit out there and watch people walk by and you know, enjoy a drink like right there on the street. So I mean, they have that going for them. But on the other hand, and we're going to take a quick commercial break here in a second, we're going to come back and talk about some types of food that we would like to see at the food hall. But on the other hand, you have a lot of greasy food in the summer months and a lot of walking around. I don't know if I want to have like a big hearty burger out in the hot sun on the street, on the sidewalk. I don't know. Before we do take that commercial break, just one final point that I did want to make. And I would like to talk about Topgolf there at the food hall. Perhaps you're asking yourself, Topgolf at the food hall? Where? Silas, you were
That's my
that.
Question. You brought that up right before we started this, and if you told me there was Topgolf, I didn't know it was there.
Yeah, it's Brenda. You've done it, right?
I have.
Share your experience with us.
So the Topgolf swing suite in itself is pretty fun. There's different golf games you can do, or zombie dodgeball, or some baseball things. So it's a fun activity to do on a Sunday afternoon, which is what we did. But it's kind of just in a random corner of the food hall, and you're kind of just exposed to everyone in the food hall. So we had like a crowd of people at one point standing there watching us swing our golf clubs, and some of us aren't maybe so good at that and didn't want an audience. Well, not me, but other people.
Sure.
Yeah. So that was weird, and it just kind of felt like something that was not integrated into the feel of the food hall. It felt kind of random. Again, something really fun to do, but I've never seen anyone else use it besides when I was there with my group.
I've never seen anybody else use it, but I have heard them use it. I was going to say, you know, it's like, it's, you know, there's the Topgolf swing suite over there at the Embassy Suites downtown too, and it's enclosed and it's in a separate area. When you hit that golf ball and it hits that screen, it's loud, especially in a room that echoes a lot and that we've talked about is already loud. So I was a little bit skeptical about that whenever I first heard that was coming. And I'll tell you what, my beef with those two stalls in the middle, you know, sort of cramping things up, I think it would have been fine just to put those two stalls over there in that area. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not involved in the design, and maybe there were some limitations there. But you know, that space is cramped and there's something that's not being used as much as I think people thought it was going to be used. I wonder if those two stalls would have made sense just going over there and opening up that space.
If that's possible, I think that would have been a great idea, because sometimes I feel bad for the Donut Theory and the Corners because they're kind of up on the top ramp by themselves. And if you had two more stalls over there, I think it would just feel more complete. I feel like they kind of get left out at the end.
Yeah. And as soon as you walk in the door there, you can walk straight to those two places, or you walk down a ramp that looks like that's where you're supposed to go to, like, go see the rest of the food hall. Like,
exactly.
As soon as you walk in that door, I feel like I'm supposed to go to the right. But like I said, let's take a quick break, get you caught up with some big news, actually, about the podcast. And when we come back, we will talk about what we would like to see in the food hall in the future.
What's going on, guys? Visual journalist and Scruffy Stuff producer Calvin Matthijs here with some exciting news. The Scruffy Stuff, your favorite podcast, won big at the East Tennessee Society of Professional Journalism Awards, taking home the Golden Press Card Award for Best Podcast. Knox News reporters also took home Best of Show across all media, as well as the Community Service Award. The newsroom also received honors for video, deadline reporting, government reporting, sports reporting, and pandemic reporting, plus a whole lot more. The full list is available at knoxnews.com. Now, back to the show.
You know, I'm not one to toot my own horn, but toot toot to us and to Calvin as well behind the scenes, who's, good job, Calvin. I know you're listening and putting this thing together. Good job to you. It was awesome being able to win that award, and I'm very excited for the next year and hopefully a repeat. So let's talk about the food options in there. I've hinted at already. I am a little upset by the lack of healthy options. Not that I'm a very health conscious eater, but sometimes I am, and I like to at least have the option for it. And right now, the only option I would say that has really any like sort of green focused dish is getting a poke bowl, which I thought is one of the pricier things there in the food hall. So that's why, you know, went for the greasier options from time to time. But yeah, I think something healthy would be nice in there. I know it's hard to do healthy quick. That's a problem, right? I mean, it's easy to put burger on the fryer and you know, put some buns on, put the condiments on, and saute the onions. It's hard to do like a nice, healthy dish well and fast. If that's, you know, speed is something that they're focused on. So let's go around, and I'm gonna get more specific. I don't just want to say healthy. Let's go around the room and let me think on this for a second. Brenna, okay. What do you want?
I don't think this would be that hard. I would love to have like a fruit plate as a side option somewhere. Because I'm all for, like, let's have a greasy burger, or let's have, you know, whatever it is you want to have as an entree. But it's nice to have an option, a side option that's lighter. I think, in general, the side options are a little bit lacking.
There's a lot of fries in that place. A
lot of fries.
I will say one of my favorite things about Poe Richards, I mentioned, was my favorite vendor. Although I never mentioned what my favorite current vendor is. My favorite current vendor is probably Smash. But the reason I like Poe Richards so much in the beginning, unfortunately they switched this, but they had a nice little side green salad with this like sweet dressing and these cranberry craisins and
it was
nuts.
Amazing.
It was on the night where we actually went and tried one of everything, or like tried each vendor at the food hall, like before they opened. That was my favorite thing, and it was a side dish at the sandwich place. You know, and so that was, and unfortunately they switched and went to Gumbo. Perhaps that was their detriment. That was their downfall, perhaps. But yeah, I liked it for that reason. I was like, I can get this big greasy thing, which is probably my daily caloric intake, but still feel like I got, you know, something, you know, healthy on the side. So I'm with you. I think that's, yeah, a side dish at least would be nice.
As far as just like a main dish goes, I know salads, you say, oh, I want a healthy option. Salads are kind of, I don't know if this is not lazy or just like a cop out to say, oh, I want salads, but I would like to see a nice kind of salad or like, wraps kind of, and it's just something really fresh, because whenever I go there, I mean, like all y'all, I get something really greasy and, you know, probably my daily caloric intake. I remember one day I went to Soul Brothers, I got their fried chicken sandwich, and then I said I wanted fries on the side, and I think they misheard me and gave me the loaded fries, which I'm not complaining, they were delicious, but it was a heavy, heavy meal. But just, you know, someplace with like really nice, fresh salads, or kind of plant-based fresh restaurant would be much appreciated.
I would like, what about a smoothie? Like a nice smoothie or juice place that would be something that's different. And I feel like the business would do well, because even though smoothies can be a full meal, there are still some people that would get a smoothie as a drink with their actual meal too. So I feel like you can get both the crowd that just wants a, you know, something loaded with protein, especially you know, the people that are riding their bikes around town and people that thinks it's really quick. I know, you know, you just stop in, grab you a quick smoothie, guzzle it, get on your way. And so I would like to see that. You know, maybe that's not all they offer. Maybe they have some, you know, maybe a little healthy, like locally made protein bars or something, like just a quick grab and go kind of smoothie protein bar type place, just to balance it out a little bit. Just a little bit of health in there would be nice.
Is there anything non-healthy that you wish was at the food hall?
Let me, of course. let me think on it. Where do I begin? My favorite dish probably is pad thai. I would love to see some thai in there, some noodles. I mean, there's Asian places in there, but they're very niche Asian places, right? You have Soul Brothers, which is Asian fusion. I mean, they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff over there. And then you have Just Poke, which is, you know, people that like it, love it. But then that's not really the most accessible thing for people. Not everybody likes raw fish. So maybe some sort of Asian option that is just more universally loved. A hibachi place perhaps would be. And hibachi is super easy to do, like quick, right? Like maybe like a place to just do some hibachi or some Thai. I don't know. Maybe some Asian street food type stuff would be nice.
One thing I would love to see is kind of a place for Mexican food. Yeah, I think, you know, grabbing a burrito or taco or just anything. I would love to see that.
Or a morgue. If you're allowed to get your own, they had said that the individual vendors would be able to get their own licenses, but I haven't seen anybody, I don't think, that sells alcohol yet. Have you?
I would just think the cost benefit wouldn't be there for the vendors, because 95% of people are just going to order at the bar.
Unless you had prepackaged margaritas at the Mexican place, that would work.
Now you're thinking.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think it would be interesting. Not sure if it would work, but I would love like a full service coffee shop.
Yeah.
Lattes, frappes, the whole works.
I'm going to add one more thing that I'm surprised this person wasn't already in there. Talk about chef-driven, quick, and simple Yassine's. I mean, that's like the, you know, that's the perfect. I mean, I feel like that concept was built for the food hall. So I'd love to see Yassine's in there. Who knows? Maybe they're looking for a vendor. Maybe that would I think that would fill a void both on the options of what's available. And also, people just want Yassine's all the time. You can't always get it, but now there'd be one more place to do it. So
I'm certain they approached Yassine.
Yeah.
But I mean, the awesome thing about Yassine's is he already has an amazing brand, and he doesn't need the marketing of a food hall to back up what he's built.
True.
He's too big.
True. It's the nicest place in the world, or in America, or
the world.
At least in Knoxville.
So, Ryan, I feel like we need to balance the scales a little bit. I think we should end by each saying the one thing we like most about Marble City Market, because we've ragged on it a little bit, but I do think there's a lot to appreciate.
Yeah, I was going to suggest we just kind of answer the question, too, of has it lived up to expectations? Mm. But what you've asked me to do and what I was thinking about, they'll go hand in hand.
Okay.
Because my answer is no, it has not lived up to expectations. And you're like, Ryan, I said, let's be positive. I think it hasn't, but it is still a great place that it's maybe not what I expected it was going to be, but has its own place in the downtown landscape. So I think it was, the expectations were that it was going to be this destination, that it was going to be this place that extends the boundaries of downtown. That's going to be really high level chef driven concepts. I don't know if that's fully been realized there yet, but I do think that it has proven to be a place that's reliable, that I can get a quick bite to eat, and it's going to be quick no matter what. Place that has an excellent bar program, and a place that I can gather with friends, especially large groups of friends that have very different tastes in food. So, yeah, it is quick. It's got variety. Got good drinks. Those are my three big takeaways. And overall, I would say, yes, the food hall has been a good thing and could continue to be a good thing for Knoxville, and a concept that works.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think, you know, maybe what it set out to be, it hasn't quite lived up to those expectations. But I haven't had a bad meal there. I haven't had a bad experience there. I love going there. So it's, you know, it's still a great place to yeah, hang out with friends and grab a quick bite to eat and then go someplace else. But I think it definitely, I agree with Ryan, it has a spot downtown and it's a fun place.
And I think the parts that have not lived up to expectations are relatively easy fixes. Mm-hmm. You want more people in the door? Let's put up a sign. You know, you want it to be a destination? Let's have more events and stuff going on there that makes a destination. Let's advertise those events a little bit more. I mean, it has lived up to part of the expectations and the stuff that hasn't. I think there's opportunity to do that. I mean, it hasn't even been a year yet. I mean, no business has fully seen its potential in the first year anyway. So I think part of us ragging on the food hall is because there was high expectations, perhaps too high of expectations, honestly, for what this could do. I mean, it wasn't going to be a silver bullet that's going to completely change this area of town, like perhaps it was advertised as it could possibly be. So give it some time. I think it could, you know, with some small adjustments, could be, you know, that destination that people expected it to be. We haven't even talked about this, especially as a stadium comes over in the Old City. I mean, when you talk about forget concerts, you want to talk about getting a quick bite before a game and not having to pay for stadium prices inside of a baseball stadium. I feel like the place is going to be flooded once the stadium gets up and running.
I think it still can live up to the hype. It has, as you said, some work to do. I think it just needs to toot its own horn a little bit more, number one. But, you know, one of the things I like most about it is I've really enjoyed bringing out-of-town visitors there, especially if you're in a big group and you're comfortable enough to, like, share different dishes and order a bunch of different stuff. And so you can walk away and have a delicious meal where you tried five or six different kinds of food. You can't get that experience anywhere else in Knoxville. And so if you're feeling experimental or you want to try something different for dinner, it's a great place to go.
Let's say just about every time we go, my White Claw drinking, non-podcast listening partner always gets a big thing of the Parmesan, shaved Parmesan fries from Panay for your thoughts. And that is our shareable, our go-to shareable for the group. So yeah, that is an awesome aspect of the whole food hall experience. But I'm interested in what you think, the listeners. What's your favorite vendor? What are some things that you like? What are some things you would change? Has it lived up to your expectations? Let us know by joining the downtown discussion in the Urban Knoxville Facebook group. Just make sure you answer those questions and we'll add you into the group so you can see what's going on around town and share some of your own thoughts and ideas and things that you have going on. And also, if you do not subscribe to the podcast, I encourage you hit that like or subscribe button on whatever platform you listen on so you can stay up to date with all the latest news happening in and around downtown Knoxville, or just come back on Mondays. That's when we release new episodes. And be sure, if you're a fan of the podcast, if you're not a fan, do not just stop right now and don't follow what I'm about to say. Leave a review, a 5-star review if you could, and let us know what you like about the show. We would appreciate that, as well as support in the form of getting a Knox News subscription. Remember, Knox News is what supports the podcast, and heading on over to knoxnews.com/subscribe. We'll let you see all of our latest offers, all the ways that you can support local journalism and get unlimited access to everything we discuss here on the show. The abundance of food hall stories that I've written and the abundance of downtown Knoxville stories coming out of the Urban Knoxville team and a whole lot more. So, be sure you do that, as well as give me a follow on Instagram. I'd love to keep up with you, and you can keep up with me. In the meantime, between episodes, you can follow me at Knox Scruff. And Silas, what's the best way for people to keep up with you and the work you're doing?
Yes, so you can follow me on Twitter at Silas Sloan. That's SILASLOAN.
And you're also in that Urban Knoxville Facebook yes. group a lot, posting stuff that you got that you're reporting on in the downtown area. So do that. And then also newsletters.
If you want to keep up with all the downtown-centric news coming out of the Knox News team, you can subscribe to our free weekly Urban Knoxville newsletter. Ryan writes that, and he'll keep you updated on all the happenings in and around downtown. You can subscribe to that for free at knoxnews.com/newsletters/manage.
That does it for today. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you at the food hall.